Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're online at philhenryshow.com as well every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we do thank you for joining us, sort of getting into our weekly routine. Great news, the free Phil Henry podcast returns tomorrow with episode 47. Margaret, you are featured on episode 47.
Well, and I am, Phil, and I think it's a good episode. I want everyone to know this is an interview that Phil did with me back in 2004. It was during Ronald Reagan's funereal procession, or it was the funereal part of the funereal.
The funeral?
Well, no, because it was the funereal. Do you know what I mean by funereal?
No, I don't, Margaret. Are we going to get...
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. Let me explain.
Yeah, well, you're talking about... Quit using big words and everything.
Oh, excuse me. Am I using big words? Oh, boy.
Well, Margaret, you know, what are you saying?
I'm saying... Forget it.
Come on. Don't do that.
No, no, forget it. I don't want to be a bother.
Well, Margaret, well, no, now y'all said that.
What?
I said you set it up and tell you.
Yeah, why don't you say what you're going to say instead of telling everybody no?
Because I don't want to be sitting here on the hot seat while Phil bores two holes through me going, come on, man, come on.
Well, what are you talking about? You said funereal.
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell the audience.
No, I'll do it.
No, I'll do it.
No, I'll do it. It was the funereal part of the Reagan funeral procession. I said funereal because funereal gives you an overview. It is the overall. You see, you're missing the overall. Like Hal Holbrook said in,
Of Mice and Men.
No, not Of Mice and Men. What a jet.
All the President's Men.
Yes, you're missing the overall. So it was the funereal.
Good. So in other words, you were out there at the Reagan Library as the services for the late president were being held, and you were giving away John Kerry literature during the election season of 2004, dressed in a Ronald Reagan mask.
Now, did you see how you just did that? So you're out of... And it was so boring.
No, I remember that one now.
Yes, no, and people got very upset with you.
Well, you know something? In retrospect, I think people are going to agree with me. And I'm sorry you had to describe it because you go, you're out at the Reagan and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If that was a song, Phil, I'd be all in. Number one on the hit parade. But as it was a recitation of something that I did, me, my life, I feel a little violated, okay?
Oh.
Well, no, Phil, I...
You really get dramatic, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay, the woman's being dramatic. Well, I'm so sorry to be dramatic, Phil.
Margaret, you know, I don't know where to begin with you. You are so cynical, you're so snide, you're so insulting sometimes. Every little thing has to be right with you, or you're off to the races with how hurt you are.
Well, what do you expect me to say?
Well, all I asked you was, what did you mean by funereal? That's all.
You know full well what that word means.
I understand that, but my audience...
Oh, God, the audience.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people are there, not just you.
That's right, Bud's right. You know, it's not just you, me, Bud, and Robert, it's the audience, too. They're like the fifth man, you know.
It's, what is that, like the sixth man what is it, in hockey?
No, in basketball.
In basketball, yeah.
No, I wouldn't call it that. No, the sixth man in our case is our audience. It's the people that are listening and waiting for you to funereal. All right. So in any event, let's not stick to that because we got to move on. That's part of our episode 47 of the Free Phil Henry podcast. And by the way, you can get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com so you can hear the entire shows that these podcasts are pulled from in our archives, as well as watch our nightly video cast, as well as listen to the Milwaukee Lion. Podcast, the Milwaukee Lion podcast, by the way, there's going to be a free Milwaukee highlight podcast that will be starting this week in addition to the free Phil Henry podcast. So we got a lot of stuff going on. And, of course, we have the Milwaukee Lions on demand. They played today in Portland, and you'll be able to download that game tomorrow with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison.
Who won?
Well, I don't want to tell you who won. It's going to be posted on the site, but... I don't want to tell you, because people get upset.
Who does?
The people that download the podcast, the podcast.
See, I don't understand. Is it a podcast or a broadcast? You know, these things.
It's a podcast, meaning it is delivered to one's iPod or listening pod. Now, people get upset if we announce the result of the game because it's a spoiler, you know.
My God, it's just some silly...
Yeah, I know, it's a silly sporting event, but that's how guys are. All right, 877-876-7445. We're going to have Coach Vernon Dozier on with us here in a moment to talk about Jerry Sandusky. But here's the story as it is coming down to us. And, of course, tomorrow's the day. I say tomorrow, today, depending upon where you're listening to us. Back east, you guys are already well into Tuesday. And on the 9th, Tuesday, Jerry Sandusky will be sentenced on 45 counts of child sexual abuse.
That, why didn't they do it already?
I don't know. The as you know, the verdict was rendered in June, and the judge deferred the sentencing to this month. He has been in jail ever since, and I imagine that the judge is wanted to consult a variety of legal sources and perhaps maybe consult with whoever a judge consults with in terms of the sentencing. It's probably... Perhaps it's something that is unprecedented in his experience. Perhaps it is something unprecedented in some way, shape, or form. But defiant, and here is the story from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I just want to say that was my father's favorite paper. You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and that was my father's religiously. Every day he read the Philadelphia Inquirer, Daddy, can I get you coffee? We always used to, because he had four daughters, and we were always vying for his attention.
Boy, how weird is that?
I beg your pardon?
Well...
Oh, you better...
Margaret, don't curl your fist.
What's he mean by that?
Well, I mean, you're the one that said when your dad came home, y'all would go get lipstick on.
We got ourselves made up for our father when he came home. There were four girls and my mother, and we loved my father very much.
Of course you did.
Well, I don't know what this one's referring to.
Bud, if I hear you...
No, she's the one that said...
A lot of girls, you know, I mean, it's a very old tradition, isn't it?
It's one that the Italian tradition is very fond of, where when father comes home, the girls line up on the staircase.
Then he goes, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
You shut up.
I swear to...
Hey.
I'll kick his ass.
She put her hands on me.
You deserve it, man. Margaret, God, you're just like Robert.
I'm going to tell you right now, Phil, I mean, the light is green.
Well, I said what?
I know what you said. He goes, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I swear to God, nothing. I swear.
You better hope, Phil. I just...
All right, let's just calm down here. All right, so let me get back to the Jerry Sandusky. And so your dad liked to read the Philadelphia Inquirer. God bless him, and God rest his soul.
Thank you.
All right. Defiant and unrepentant, Jerry Sandusky accused his victims of... what do you want?
He's doing it again.
Bud, get your hands out of your nose, will you?
Don't hit my hand in my nose. Hit my finger.
Out of there.
I'm sorry.
Go into the bathroom, get a tissue, and blow your freaking nose.
No, man, don't. Can't put your hand up there.
I didn't have my hand in there.
It looked like you had your hand up there.
That is vile beyond all words.
All right. Defiant and unrepentant, Jerry Sandusky. Accused his victims, get a load of this guy, accused his victims of lodging false allegations against him in a taped jailhouse statement aired by a radio station late Monday, one day before he was to be sentenced on 45 counts of child sexual abuse. The former Penn State University assistant football coach blamed his conviction on a conspiracy by aggressive investigators, lying accusers, and the media. Well, there's a surprise. His three-minute statement was aired by Penn State's student-run radio station and posted on the station's website. They can take away my life, they can make me out as a monster, they can treat me as a monster, but they can't take away my heart. In my heart, I know I did not do these alleged disgusting acts. Sandusky, 68, awaits sentencing in the Center County Jail where he is in protective custody. His attorneys Joe Amendola and Carl Rominger confirmed to the Center Daily Times that the statement was Sandusky's, but Amendola said they didn't know how the radio station obtained it. The statement coincided with signals from Sandusky's defense team that it had abandoned plans to plead for leniency and had shifted focus to appealing his June conviction. The bottom line is this, Amendola said, emerging Monday from a conference with Judge John M. Cleland. How can he be remorseful if he maintains his innocence?
This is vile. This is an obscenity. Don't read any more of it.
I am going to read it.
I wish you wouldn't.
Why?
It's an obscenity, Phil.
Listen, it's news, you know. Let's just hold on. Don't read any more of it.
You're offending me with every word.
Gotta read it.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you. The bottom line is, as Amendola said, how can he be remorseful if he maintains his innocence? Under state sentencing guidelines, Cleland could impose anywhere from 10 years to more than 400 years.
Then he's going to do 400 years? Guy, you're going to live that long.
Well, they do 400 years anyway. They do. In our jurisprudence, in our legal system, if that's the penalty for what you've done, then that's the penalty for what you've done. You know, you ain't going to live 400 years, but your ass, that pretty much means you're never getting out, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't mean it that, because if they have parole.
Well, parole is the least the state can do for someone who's incarcerated.
What about Sandusky?
I hate him.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back.
What does that mean?
Well, this is kind of, you know, I noticed this with a lot of people. They're sort of liberal when it comes to prisoners' rights and this and that. But then on the other side of it, Sandusky and guys like that. And these animals that commit these acts that are so beyond the pale. I don't know how anybody could be talking about prisoners' rights for some of these guys when you think of the stuff they've done. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Vernon Dozier coming back, high school football coach at Belmar Academy, to comment on this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hold your fingers out of your nose, man. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, himself a football coach and a teacher of young athletes and young people. And tomorrow, Vernon, it's going to be Jerry Sandusky standing in front of a judge. And what do you think?
Well, as a football coach, it's particularly a painful thing to witness because, our profession, and even though I'm at the high school level, I've coached at the college level, I've coached at the professional level, and in the end of the day, it's just, you're talking about the same thing. You're talking about being a teacher. You're talking about somebody who's, that you have the trust of parents, you have the trust of the athlete, and you have an obligation, obviously, to do everything in your power to protect as well as to teach.
To protect and serve.
What's that? What did you say?
What did you say, bud?
To protect and serve, right?
Protect and serve. Well, no, protect and serve is what police officers do. I guess you could say that, yeah.
Yeah, bud, we're talking about coaching football, okay? Go ahead, Vernon.
Yeah, so anyway.
Well, okay.
Just don't interrupt, okay?
I thought that's what it was.
No, protect and serve is what police officers do. That's got nothing to do with what I do. I mean, I do want to protect. I do want to serve, but I want to do a lot more. I want to teach. Jerry Sandusky is Jerry Sandusky, but the guy that that disappoints all of us, the guy that has, in many respects, lucked out, I hate to say it, it's Joe Paterno.
Why do you say Joe Paterno?
Why, Vernon, this is Margaret. Why did you say that?
Well, Margaret, let me, before you start, because I know how you can get.
How do I get?
Hold on. Let me just say.
Let the man finish.
Let me say. What I mean by that is this. Joe Paterno is an individual who has, as Shakespeare said, he has shuffled off this mortal coil, and he is letting Jerry Sandusky sweep up behind the elephant here.
You're not saying that Joe Paterno was engaged in this kind of activity.
No. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is Paterno is the guy that I think should be standing tall before the man and answering questions as to why this kind of thing was tolerated, why he didn't immediately go to, if it was me, and someone came to me and said that there was a a sexual assault taking place in a bathroom on campus or in the shower on campus, I can tell you, Mr. Hendry, I don't care if I was in bed in my pajamas, as however long it took me to put my slippers on and my robe on and get the car keys, I would be down at any police station you care to talk about. I wouldn't just be calling them up. I would be driving there, walking into that place in my bathrobe and my pajamas, sitting down and demanding to see the chief of police. But I didn't hear Paterno do any of that. All Paterno did was, in that fumbling way that an 80-year, I mean, the man's in his 80s, so what do you think it sounded like, Phil?
Well, what are you asking me?
Well, what do you think it sounded like when somebody came to him, when this query come to him, or McQuarrie?
The boy's name is McQuarrie, the young man.
Yeah, McQuarrie. When he comes to, and think about that, he's got to go through life with that name. I mean, everything about this story is sad. From McQuarrie going through life with a name like that to the...
Well, I don't think that's got anything to do with this story.
No, I know it does. I'm just saying everything about the case is got a bad stink to it, or a bad look. It just looks bad. But the point is here. I would be down there at...
Well, hold on for a minute here before you go any further. Joe Paterno was not charged with any crime. He didn't commit any crime.
Well, that's not exactly... I mean, what Vernon is saying is that Joe Paterno should have reported it.
Well, he did in his mind.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. No, he didn't. He went to these two guys. He didn't go to the police. The police. You know what the police is. Yeah, you've heard of them.
Of course.
Okay, that's what you do. You go to the police. You don't stand there, all 86 years old of you, and look befuddled with your hands in your pocket, fumbling with your car keys or your rabbit's foot or whatever it is you go to when you're feeling nervous. Or, you know, and I'm sorry to say, but I mean, did he have a joy hole? I don't know what it...
What do you mean a joy hole?
I don't know what that old man, what kept him preoccupied that he didn't go to the police, P-O-L-I-C-E. The police. You can look them up in the Yellow Pages. You can see them on Wikipedia. You can...
No, everyone knows what the police is.
Good. Then why didn't Paterno...
Well, I think that Paterno, and so many people have commented on this, Paterno is an old school...
Wait. Who is Paterno?
Joe Paterno. Pronunciation, according to Margaret.
It's the what?
That... May I finish, please?
Yes, I just wondered, what is Paterno?
May I finish?
Go ahead.
As I was saying, could you turn that television down?
Amber, honey, turn that down. Go ahead.
Thank you. Joe Paterno, or if you will, Paterno, is a man who belongs, or was a man who belonged to a different era. Paterno was, if you will, the early 20th century version of the football coach. Now, in a very, very interesting book called The Light at the End of the Tunnel, Dr. Will...
Can I just butt in here for a minute? I don't want to listen to a dissertation. We're talking about something that's happening right now.
I agree with Vernon, Margaret. But just your point is what?
My point about Paterno...
Could we call him Joe Paterno, please?
I'm very confused.
All right. My point is this. That as much as I don't appreciate the big football mentality on campuses, you can't be suggesting that Joe, if you will, Paterno, was responsible or could have acted any quicker.
That's exactly what I'm suggesting. I'm saying that Paterno is the one guy that got away with bloody murder in this entire affair.
Well, when you say bloody murder, I mean, I think it's a little rough. I mean, let's say... what I will say this, he's a man that did not aggressively pursue a serious action that took place on campus in his department.
Yeah, and people forgive him. Why do they forgive him? Because he's 86. Well, let me tell you something, or he was. I don't forgive him because he's 86. I blame him because he's 86. I blame him because he's 86. I'm saying this guy should have known better, but then, even though he knew better, you reach an age where you're approaching some sort of a dementia, so you know better, but what you know, everything that you know and everything that you've built up in your life to that point of 86 is now disintegrating because your mind is going. So here's what we have. We've got Jerry Sandusky. We have McQuarrie coming and telling Paterno. We've got Paterno knowing what the right thing is to do, but the dementia has suddenly collapsed his mind. That's what you got right there.
So is it his fault or not?
Yes, it was his fault. He should have acted. He should have known that he was demented.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. Joe Paterno is the real culprit in this, and he's now gone. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
No, I don't. Back here with Vernon Dozier's, we talk about Jerry Sandusky, who is going to be sentenced today. Vernon Dozier, a head football coach at Belmar Academy. So you, and you've made the statement, it's not unheard of, people have said this before, Joe Paterno is the guy that ought to be on standing tall before the man right next to Sandusky. He was not accused of any of these heinous acts. What Joe Paterno is accused of is not acting, and that is, that's bad. There's no question.
Well, yeah, of course it's bad. You know, people will say it's bad, but then they say, well, it ain't that bad. You know, I mean, that's what I get from a lot of people, Phil. They'll say, well, yeah, that's terrible. He didn't protect the kids. But when it comes down to it, people say, yeah, but at least he wasn't Sandusky, you know.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I was reading about...
Let me finish before you tell me what you were reading, okay? Because I want to get this off my chest, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
You know, now, here you have... Now, I'm a coach, and I had my chances. Would I have liked to have coached at Penn State? Yeah. Would I have liked to have been the head coach at Penn State? Sure. Would I have liked to have been a defensive coordinator, a linebacker coach, or whatever this guy Sandusky supposedly did? Sure. But I didn't get that chance. Instead, a pervert got that chance. A pervert and an old man whose mind collapsed. They are the two that got the chance. So, you know.
So what is your point?
My point is I can restate my case.
Well, your case is what? You're saying that had you gotten the chance, you would have dealt with it better.
You wouldn't. Well, I should hope you would have dealt with it better.
Well, no, there's more than that to just me dealing with it better. What I'm saying is, while I'm at the high school level, meeting with parents and going to coffees and accordion recitals, I went to an accordion recital last night, Phil. I'm not. That's nothing that I. That's terrible. That's not an onerous thing. That's not torture. But how many accordion recitals did Joe Paterno go to? Don't answer that. None. How many accordion recitals did Jerry Sandusky go to? Don't answer that. None. How many accordion recitals did Graham Spanier go to?
Hold on. I happen to know the answer to that. Graham Spanier went to several accordion recitals because he was the college president. And I know because my sister teaches accordion and was in College Station with two of her pupils at a recital they gave, I think at one of the auditoriums on the Penn State campus, and Graham Spanier was in attendance. So how's that? What do you think about that, huh? Oh, come on.
No, it's... Vernon, what do you think?
What do I think? Here you go, Margaret. You listening?
Yes.
Hey. How do you feel about that? Okay.
All right, well, don't be a smartass.
I'm not being a smartass, but the point that I'm making is I went to an accordion recital. Now, I'm a very good football coach, but I'm not coaching at Penn State. Would I like to coach at Penn State? Yes, I would. And
why are you not coaching at the college level?
I'm coaching at the high school level, Phil, because I see a need for good, quality football coaches. I see a need for a top-of-the-line football coach at the high school level that can take it to the next level. That can take the high school level to the next level. That's always been something that I told the people here at Belmar. I wanted to take high school football and kick it up a notch so that it's competitive with certain levels of college football. I'd like to take our team and...
You're kidding me.
What are you talking about, college football?
No, I'm not kidding you. Can I finish what I'm saying before you start talking and looking at me like I'm a freak? Like a freak in nature?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's the one good thing you've said, Margaret, which...
Well, I don't appreciate that either. Vernon, I'm trying to learn about this topic from you people, and you're not being very helpful. I don't know a lot about football, but I do know children. All right. And I don't know about accordion recitals per se, but I'm telling you, Graham Spanier was at one.
I don't care if Graham Spanier was at one. I've been to 3 accordion recitals in 2 years, and I'm a football coach. And then I've got to sit there and talk to the parents about their son playing accordion. And
why are you going to accordion recitals?
Because I'm expected to, because I have to look at the students not just as athletes, but as students. And if there's a kid that we are looking at, say there's a kid that we want to recruit for the team, or maybe the kid doesn't want to play, I want to go to the accordion, kid plays accordion. And I've had in the last 2 years, I've had 3 kids that play accordion that it would be damn good football prospects. Accordion. And I had to sit there and go, yeah, that's great, hey, all right. Sounds just like the monkey grinder. And I got into trouble, you know that, with the...
Yeah, well, I remember that you had a problem with the administration.
Yeah, that was when the monkey grinder controversy.
There wasn't any controversy. I said it sounded just like the monkey grinder in the movies, and that's when I got called up in front of the administrative board.
What he did was...
I'm sorry, what did you do?
I was listening to one of the kids play the accordion, and I said, sounds as good as the monkey grinder I've seen in those, you know, the monkey grinder movies.
What's a monkey grinder?
An organ grinder with a little monkey.
Oh, God.
Well, it wasn't that bad, you know.
Well, yeah, but Dave, it did make the local papers.
It made the papers?
Yeah, can you believe that? That's how little they have to write about Glendale. Nonetheless, that's where I've been, at accordion recitals. And so when I see a guy like Sandusky living it up, having a great time, you know, taking kids into the show, whatever he's doing. And
what do you mean a great time? This guy is a pervert ruining the lives of children.
I didn't mean a great time. I'm just saying from his perspective, he's living it up. You know,
well, from his perspective, he's like the devil in hell. If the devil in hell is living it up, then yes, Jerry Sandusky was living it up.
All right, okay, fine, God. I'm just saying, you got to look at it from his perspective. I'm looking at it from my perspective as a football coach, and I'm looking at it from his perspective as a football coach. You understand what I'm saying, Phil? And so he's living it. He's.
Well, you're saying he thinks he's living it up.
Yeah, he's living it up. Look at him. He's got a nice retirement salary. He takes, something into the shower with him. And
what do you mean something into the shower? You see what I'm saying? You understand what we're saying now, Vernon? This is, you can't treat this like it's about you.
I'm not saying it's about me. I'm just saying, compared to Sandusky, I got reamed. Sandusky got it all, and what did I get? I got an accordion recital. Why do you...
Will you get off the accordion recital? No one cares.
Oh, that much I know. I know that no one cares. Believe me, I know that no one cares. I can come home. I came home and my wife doesn't care. My wife is sitting next to me right now, who I love. We've been married 6 years. She's 31 years younger than me. She's a wonderful woman. I love her, and she loves me. I don't know why I can't spit that word out. I know you love me, honey. But she's going, and she's 31 years younger than me. And when I say to her that I've been to 3 accordion recitals in the last 2 years as the football coach at Belmar Academy, she just shrugs and she goes back to her to the Cracker Jack box. And I'm being literal. The Cracker, is that what you're eating now? Okay, it's caramel corn. It's not Cracker Jack. Has it got the prize?
Who cares?
I'm trying to determine if it...
Vernon, no one cares. I think you're way off the mark here, and you're really not sticking to the point. The point here is this man is an animal, and what you're doing is comparing yourself... to this man, as opposed to having compassion for the children.
I've got compassion for the children. I go to their accordion recitals. God!
Okay, man, you're really wrapped a little. Let's go to a phone call here. 877-876-7445. Karen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
I am enjoying your program this evening. I'm really enjoying this.
Oh, God, this is that woman.
Margaret, hello, how are you? It's Karen Doville.
Yes, I know, dear.
All right. I want to talk to this man. Mr. Dozier?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Karen Doville. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. How are you?
Yes, ma'am, I'm very good.
I have been listening to you. And my husband's been listening to you, and my brother-in-law, Jerry. Now, I understand what you're saying, okay. But my husband, Herb, and Jerry, I'm going to say, they are mad at you.
Why are they mad at me, ma'am?
Well, you know how guys are. Jerry, do you want to... Okay, hold on. This is my brother-in-law.
Hey, Coach, Jerry Doville here. Coach, you sound like you might come the same neck of the woods as me, do you?
I come from Texas. I come from Houston, Texas.
Well, I come from South Carolina, but you're a Southerner. You know we don't do well on that. You don't do right by people like that.
I understand that, sir. I'm not backing this guy up. I'm just telling you.
Well, you said about Sandusky, and I understand you have a football team, too.
I'm a football coach, okay? And I'm not. All I'm saying is, how come Sandusky gets to live it up? And
hey, live it up!
He's not living it up, Coach. He's not living it up. Those are little boys.
Right. Why do you call him? Why do you say?
In his mind, he's living it up. In his mind, he's got it good, you know. And he's got it good. And I would, but I don't have it good.
Well, you said you want to have a boy?
No, I didn't say I want to have a boy. I said,
look, you, if you had that job,
I wouldn't do what he's doing. If I was that sick and that demented, and thank God I'm not, but let's say I was, I sure as hell wouldn't bring him into the shower at school. For God's sake, I'd find a place tucked away.
What exactly is your view of Jerry Sandusky?
I thought I made myself clear.
I think you got perv. Oh, perv. Perved up.
Phil, my brother Jerry, he thinks this man is perfect. And I have to say, Coach...
Yeah, ma'am, with all due respect, I don't give a damn what your hillbilly brother thinks.
Well, that's not nice. That's not nice at all. Phil, you have to get some nicer guests on your program. Otherwise, I don't think I can listen.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know we love you, Phil.
Ma'am, I don't care what your hillbilly cotton-picking brother says between bites on the corn cob, okay? And whether or not he can get that stuff out from his between his teeth is between him and the guy that makes the dental floss. It got nothing to do with me.
That is the rudest thing.
You are very rude.
Ma'am, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to lay it on you straight, okay?
Well, anything you lay on me, it won't be laid on me straight. Oh, I'm bad.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, Phil.
All right, Vernon, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Your statements are very self-serving, I think.
I apologize, but I'm trying to have you see this through the Vernon eye. And the Vernon point of view is simply, yes, there were children that were harmed, yes. But look at this guy Paterno, who's now off playing a harp. You know full well, you know full damn well that Paterno's in heaven. You know that, right?
I don't know.
Come on, Mr. Hender, you know Paterno's in heaven. How are you going to send a guy like that to hell with all of the people that loved him, with all of the people that believed in him? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Why are you... What is the point of this?
I'm telling you, if you people will listen to me, Paterno is in heaven. Okay? You know he's in heaven. That's the injustice. Jerry Sandusky, he'll cook in hell, but I'll probably go to hell because I brought up the fact that I got reamed while Paterno goes to heaven... Jerry Sandusky goes to hell, but who cares? I'm here coaching at the high school level. I go to accordion recitals, and at the end of the day, God says, you know what? Yeah, the accordion recitals, yeah, the winning football teams, but man, you just don't get it done.
And he sends you to hell.
And I get sent to hell, and there's Paterno. As I am cooking in hell, I look up from my oil pot, whatever the hell they put you in down there, I don't know, and I'm not looking forward to it. And I look up, and there's Paterno with that crap-eating grin on his face, talking to God about, hey, remember this game, remember that game, and God's all, yeah, tell me more, Joe. I mean, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, all about you.
Let me ask you something. If you're cooking in hell...
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back talking about Vernon Dozier and how... You know, the worst part of this whole Jerry Sandusky thing is not so much what happened to the kids. It's the fact that Vernon didn't get the coach at Penn State. Joe Paterno's going to go to heaven now, according to him. He's going to hell with Sandusky. And he'll be looking up from his boiling pot of oil as Sandusky, or as Joe Paterno's talking about the big Penn State games with God. I don't know. We'll be right back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Get the energy.
He's
no,
our
God,
bitch.
You like it.
The Phil what Hendry
you know
Show.
God likes football? What if God's a hockey fan?
I don't think God's a hockey fan. It's too violent.
famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I'm trying to say, you know.
All right, Vernon Dozier on the line with us as we discuss the Joe Paterno story, or excuse me, the Jerry Sandusky story. I don't think Joe Paterno belongs in the discussion, Vernon. I understand that you've got some resentment. There's a lot of people that have resentment toward Joe Paterno, and in my mind, and the way I look at it, he was an elderly man, and by that I mean he was a part of a generation that this whole thing with child abuse was dealt with behind closed doors. If it was dealt with at all, it was not dealt with honorably. It was all about hiding it, hushing it up, and never really dealing with the child. I think Paterno was caught in that kind of a mindset.
Yeah, but you see, the thing, Phil, you're not dealing with is all right, where does that leave? Well, all right, I won't say me. Where does that leave us? It leaves us with Joe Paterno is still everybody, you know, thinks that, you know, when he sat down in the morning, all he crapped were gardenias. And
no, it doesn't leave us with that, because they took his statue down and they vacated those winds. And what do you think his name is like? I mean, when people talk about Joe Paterno today, until I don't know for how long, man, they ain't going to be talking about the great days of Penn State football. They're going to be talking about the end of his life and what a disaster that was and how he let people down.
Well, you know, I wish I could believe you, Phil.
You wish? So what? Where is the injustice that you're feeling here?
I feel that he's going to heaven. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not. Injustice has got nothing to do with me. He's just going. You know he's going to heaven, and you won't admit it.
I don't understand this line. How do you know Joe Paterno's going to heaven, number one? And who cares?
How do I know? Because look at him. Look at the guy.
You know, if there's such a place as heaven, it doesn't belong in this world. It belongs in another. It's in another dimension, and it's judged. And the people that go there are judged on a completely different, in a different way. Probably the people that we think are squeaky clean are probably not going to go to heaven. Probably the people we think are the biggest douchebags, maybe they will.
Oh, so Sandusky's going to heaven, is that it?
I didn't say that, but what I'm saying is it's beyond human perception. How about that?
See, that is spoken like a true Catholic.
Okay, well, whatever. 877-876-7445. Let's go to another phone call. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us from San Diego. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Well, I'm very well. I'm having a great time listening to the conversation. Mr. Dozier, how are you?
I'm good, doctor. And you and I have spoken before, and I say this with great respect. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to be fed into your little doctor, you know, into your doctor grinder, you know, where you.
what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that there's a. What do I mean by what? You know.
Well, what do you mean by my doctor grinder?
I mean that you feed people into your little your head shrinker. And
why don't you let him just talk to you and not judge him?
I think that's it. Phil, thank you. Vernon, here's what I wanted to ask you, because you had made a point that you felt that Jerry Sandusky was living it up, and that you could, boy, what you could do, and you're stuck at the high school level. If you're unhappy with your lot in life, do you blame Joe? I'm not a football fan, so forgive me, Phil. Joe
Paterno. Paterno.
Paterno. I know Rick Pitino. Do you know Rick Pitino?
I know of Rick Pitino.
Yeah, he's a basketball coach.
All right. Okay. That's not the same man.
Yeah, Rick Pitino's, like Phil said, basketball.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me scratch that out. Paterno. Purton. Okay. Who's Purton? Is there a Dick Purton?
Dick Purton was a radio personality in Detroit.
I don't know.
Okay, Dick Purton. I got a lot of these names that start with P, and I want to learn more about them, you know. Here's one, Jimmy Pearsall. And
okay, Doc, did you want to...
No, I'm sorry.
Jimmy Pearsall, by the way, was a baseball player.
Baseball player that had schizophrenia, so that does kind of relate, because we're talking about athletes or people in the athletic field who needed to have their bell, you know, they have their clock wound, or something needed to get tightened up.
Jimmy Pearsall was what, Phil, you say?
Jimmy Pearsall was a Major League Baseball player who also suffered from schizophrenia, I believe. And I remember him as a kid. He played for the Angels briefly.
Okay. He played for the Angels, and he was a schizophrenic.
But that's not...
What is that?
That's not related. That's the name of the team.
Yeah, the team was the Angels, and he played for the Senators.
Okay. But he was a schizophrenic.
Yes, but it had nothing to do with him playing.
Well, I don't know if they assigned you to teams because of...
No, Doc. No.
Oh, excuse me for breathing.
Dr. Sadler, hi, this is Margaret Gray. Listen, join the club. Every time I ask a good question, I'm looked at as if I was hatched, that I didn't come out of a birth canal, that I instead struggled out of a shell. I struggled like a soggy bird or a soggy bird thing.
I know the feeling very much so.
Good Lord, what kind of a... What was that?
Yeah, I'm just now wrapping my mind around that one.
What was what?
You're looked at as if... Nobody's looking at you in any way other than just the way we looked at you.
And what way is that?
Well, okay, we're out of time.
Did you say you're out of time? I called up. This happens an awful lot, Phil, when I call your show. And it hurts me. It hurts bad. And bad.
God, I got to hang up because he sounds like he's taking one.
Yeah. All right. Vernon, thank you. And Margaret, we'll have to discuss this on the other side.
What, the other side of death's door?
No, the other side of the news, okay? Because we're going to a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The other side of the news.
Yeah, we're going to go to a news break. Don't you hear too good?
Watch it.
Wow.
Phil Hendry.